All right, this time it's my pleasure to introduce my friend, Tim Clark. He served the Lord in the military, then he served the Lord even longer, trying to reach people for Christ. So come on up, brother.
Take your Bibles and open them, please, to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I don't have a video to show you, so I am the animation that you will see tonight. I spent 11 years serving our country in the United States Army. One of those years was in the Republic of South Vietnam that is no longer in existence. I went to Vietnam as a photographer. I came away as a mortar man. And so I spent some time there. Got saved, went to Bible college, and then I went directly to Germany, pastored a military work in Baumholder, Germany for 17 years, about 40, 50 kilometers from where you will be, my brother. And the guy you'll be working with is a dear, dear friend of mine. I will call him and warn him about you. In 2002, I left Germany, not my choice, but God's choice. It's always good to take and do what God wants you to do. Amen. I left Germany and went to Jacksonville, Florida, and served as the pre-field administrator for Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. I did that until 2015, in which Walter Stevens, my dear friend and American gypsy, and I started Roma Outreach Missions Association. Roma Outreach Missions Association is a ministry focused on the gypsies of the world. There are 40 million gypsies in our world today. 1 million of them live within the borders of the United States. They're all over in Eastern Europe. They're all over in Central Europe, or Central America, South America. They're all over the country, all over the world, really. And so we're trying to, somebody asked me, where do you go? And I, everywhere I can. And I just learned from our brother Mullins that there's a large population of gypsies in Chile, so you know where my next stop will be. And we just try to get to where they are. There are a lot of veterans here. And then I also noticed that there are some veteran missionaries. And I appreciate the veteran missionaries. I appreciate the men of God who have given their lives, left their homes, left their families, and gone to places that they never thought they would be, eaten food they never thought they would eat, seen things they never thought they would see in order to carry the gospel to people that need the gospel. Brother Woody once said that missions is taking the Word of God to the people that need the Word of God. And that's anywhere and everywhere. That's outside these doors. All over the world, people need the Lord. And it is our job as missionaries. And then I mentioned there's veteran missions. Then there's some newbies. Yep. Our friends going to the Navajo Nation. Not only newbies and missionaries, but I think they're newbies in the marriage relationship. Boy, have they got a lot in front of them. They have no idea. And then, of course, the Dodsons are fairly new. They have been on the road a little longer than the Jensens. But I appreciate everybody who has given their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the church, Brother Parsons, Brother Carter, for this place here, this lighthouse of the gospel. Amen. And you can't think of Haines City without thinking of Landmark Baptist Church, Landmark Christian College, and the product that they're sending around the world to reach people with the gospel. I have you in 2 Peter chapter number 1. I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then I'm going to, it is my custom, I know we prayed, but it is my custom to always pray before I preach, and so you'll allow me to do that. And then I'm going to preach to you for a little while. I promise to get you out when I'm done. Amen. So I'll do my best to keep you awake. I do roam. But I'm not so sure. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm not so sure I can roam those steps. Those are a little steep. Maybe, Brother Jensen, you could come and sit up in the front, and that'll just jump and you can catch me. That's living by faith. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let's begin our reading at verse number 8. And we'll read down through verse number 15. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I want you to note that verse. It isn't that they lost their salvation. They had just forgotten that it had been purged. You get your salvation, you don't lose it. You don't have to get it back again. Once you have salvation, it's yours forever. Verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence unto you to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I want you to notice a word that I had said several times, and that's that thing of remembrance. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the time that we have here tonight. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what it stands for. I thank you for the privilege that it is to stand behind this sacred desk and preach the Word of God. I pray, Father, you'd help me. As best I know how, Father, I yield myself of all that I am and ask you to fill me with all that you are. They do not need to hear from Tim Clark. They need to hear from you. And so, Father, as best I know how, I yield myself to thee. I pray, Father, that you do work your work in the hearts and the minds of those that are here. And should any be in our midst, Father, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their hope of heaven, I pray, Father, something would be said that the Holy Spirit would apply to their heart in that fashion. Then for those of us that know Jesus, I pray you'd challenge us with the Word of God, that you'd order our steps in thy Word, and that you'd cause us to be stirred to go out and do much more if for the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel message with those that need the gospel message, encouraging and strengthening the saints. And Father, we ask this all in that name that's above every name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. This is Veterans Day. It's a day that we set aside and to remember those who have served the Lord and have served our country and are serving our country, and just to remember them and to think about them. I think about the other days. You know, today in Canada and in England, it's Remembrance Day. And it's a day where they wear a little red poppy to remind them of those who have served their country. It's a time when we ought to think back and think about those who have served our country, who have even given their lives for our country. But it's also a time that we ought to think back on the one who served us, the one who laid his life down for us, the one who purchased our salvation. It's something that we ought to remember. And Peter, as he writes this letter, the second time he writes to those that are scattered abroad, he writes and he says, I want you to remember some things. He says, I would be negligent if I didn't remind you about some things. He says, I want to stir you up by reminding you of some things. And I want you to keep these things. Even after I'm gone, I want you to remember those things. And so this thing of remembrance is vitally important to the child of God. Remember, he's writing to Christians. None of this was written to lost people. It's written where we can take it and share it with lost people, but it was written for those that are saved. None of it was written for or directly to lost people. And so he's writing to God's people and he's saying, look, you need to remember some things. And he talks about these things that he has. You know, I think about things that are reminders of things. I think about if you've gone to Washington, D.C., I think of that, the Vietnam. And I've been there and I've looked at the Vietnam, that black granite wall that has those names of those that gave their lives in that country, in that conflict. It has their name on there. And I've hunted up names on that wall of people that I knew that had given their lives in that conflict. And then I think also of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I go and I admire those men, the Third Army that guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the precision at which they do that. I don't know if you know this, but everything's based on 21 seconds. For 21 steps, they walk down that carpet, that place that they walk down there, and then they stop. And for 21 seconds, they stand there, and then they turn and they face the tomb, and they stand for 21 seconds, and then they turn again, and they switch their rifle over to guard that tomb. And then for 21 more steps, they do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days every year. There's somebody that is reminding us of those that gave their lives, they're guarding that tomb. And that tomb is a reminder of those who have given their lives for our freedoms, for our country. There's another place that we ought to look to that reminds us of someone that gave their lives. We ought to take some time and just look at an old rugged cross. I'm not necessarily talking about a nice form cross. We ought to look at an old rugged cross and realize that our Savior hung on an old rugged cross. It wasn't one of these polished, smoothed out crosses. It was a rugged tree, and he hung there and he died for our liberties. He died for you and I, that we might have eternal life, that we might have liberty, that we might not just be saved, that we might be changed, a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I remind myself of what he has done, and what we should be doing as men of God, as missionaries. The Bible is full of reminders. I think of the Feast of Israel that are laid out in the Old Testament, and they're reminders of what God did. And each one of those feasts is done a certain way, just to remind them. I think about the times when they crossed the Jordan River, and the priests put their feet in the on the water, and it stood on its end. And 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, stepped into that dry riverbed, picked up rocks, carried it to the other side, and stacked those rocks. And somebody said, what mean these stones? And he says, they're a reminder of what God has done. They're a reminder of God's deliverance for you. And those things ought to be reminders for us. And there's many things in the Word of God that he says we ought to remember. They're reminders of what God has done for us. You know, as God's people, oftentimes we're not rememberers, we're forgetters. Am I right?
You're right.
We forget things. We forget people. We forget things that people have done for us. I heard a story about a guy who was running for office, political office in the town, and he went to his neighbor and he asked his neighbor if he was going to vote for him. And the neighbor said, no, I don't think I will. And he says, well, why not? He says, well, I just don't think I will. He says, well, don't you remember all the things I've done? He said, yeah, but you haven't done anything lately. They've forgotten all the other things, and we have a tendency to forget things, and we ought to be the kind of people that remember things. So we forget people, we forget actions, we forget moments. I spend a lot of time pondering moments. I'll sit in my office, or I'll go out in my lanai. I used to have a patio. I moved to Florida. Now I have a lanai. Somebody says, what's the difference? The difference is how you spell it. A lanai is a fancy patio. And I'll go out and sit there and I'll watch the birds at our bird feeders, and I'll just think about the things that God has done in my life. I'll think about the people that God has brought across my life. I'll sit and I'll pray for those that I know are having a difficult time, and I'll just sit and remember. I'll sit with my Bible open. I may not even read it, but it's there, and I'll just sit and think about the things that God has done in my life and with and through and to my life. We forget those things. Peter gives us in this passage of Scripture, are you ready for notes now? That's all introduction. Now we have the outline. Okay? For those of you that are college students, you've got to have an outline. All right? And it's good if it's all kind of literated, which I have. Peter gives us three benefits of remembering. Okay, let's look at the passage of Scripture. First of all, remembrance serves to stabilize us. He says in verse number 12, he says this, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." What things is he talking about? I'll go back and show you in a minute of these things, "though you know them and be established in the present truth." Be established, be stabilized, be set. I think oftentimes about this, that word established, and what it means and what it carries. It carries the idea, when I was growing up, I watched my neighborhood grow up. I grew up in the same house, in the same town, and they, you know how neighborhoods, they end up growing up around you. And they would build houses, and in California, where I grew up, in California where I grew up, they dug under the ground. They didn't just pour some concrete and lay it, but they dug, and there were mounds of dirt. And what we would do is we would play King of the Hill. I had two older brothers. We had neighbors' kids. The Damons lived down the street, and they had three boys. And then we had a neighbor next door. They had four boys. And so we boys ran the neighborhood, and we'd go to where they were building, and we'd play King of the Hill. And when you get King of the Hill, what you do is you get on the top of the hill, and you establish yourself. I mean, you get your feet there, and you get stabilized, and you establish yourself. And he says here, those things that you ought to remember will serve to stabilize you, serve to establish you. You know, when I think about those things, I think about what God has called me to do, and I think about my precious gypsies across the world, and I realize I'm established. God has stabilized me and established me to reach those. And God has given you missionaries a calling, a people group to work with, and you ought to be the things that God says, and you remember ought to establish you and stabilize you to do the work of God that God has called you to do. What are those things? The word remember means stupos or to stamp. He says, I don't want you to forget these things. When you forget these things, it leads to turmoil. Well, what is he talking about? Remembering etches the truth of the Word of God and our souls and stabilizes or establishes us. I remember the price that was paid for my salvation. Peter, in the first letter, Peter says, not by silver and gold were we purchased, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to remember that it wasn't gold that purchased us, that God came in the flesh, and God lived on this earth, and God stood the test, and then God hung on that cross, and God shed his precious blood for your sin and my sin. And we ought to remember that, and when we do, it ought to stabilize and establish us that know that God loves us. He didn't die because he was mad at us. He died because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus Christ for us. Indeed, he died. And that light, precious faith we have, that new birth, that new family we have, those things, we forget that we need to remember of the price paid. We also need to remember that we are purged from our old sins. I don't carry the old sins. All the sins I have are the new ones. Gluttony. We had an opportunity to do that tonight. Gluttony. He says in here that you have forgotten. You're blind and you cannot see from far off if you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. You don't carry those anymore. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't carry those anymore. Put them behind you. God has put them behind him. I like what the Bible says in Micah chapter 7, verse number 19. It says that he's buried those things in the depth of the sea. You know, they've got a lot of people that do a lot of exploration. They have never plumbed the depths of the deepest part of the sea yet. I wonder if they'll find our sins down there in the bottom. Not only are they buried in the depths of the deepest sea, but according to Isaiah 38 and verse number 17, they're hidden behind God's back. Did you know you can't see behind your back? I have two children, one boy, he's not a little boy anymore, he's 47. I have a little girl, she's not a little girl, and just. But when she was about 5 years old, we used to play a game. I'd be standing there and she would come and put her hands in my back pockets and she'd call out, "Where's Amber? Where's Amber?" And I'd go like this, looking for Amber. I go like this, looking for, and she just kind of swinging back and forth, but I could never see her. Why? Because she was with me, behind my back. And God says he has taken your sins and he's hidden them behind his back. Amen. Not only that, they've been blotted from his memory. I like the idea that they've been blotted, not erased. Have you ever taken ink and taken a blotter and blot the ink? It lifts the ink out. You take a pencil and you erase and you still have marks there. It erases. God didn't erase our sins. He blotted them out. They're no longer there. And then it tells us that he has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. Amen. You know, you can go north, and after a while, you'll end up going south. Right? Right? And then you'll go south, and after a while, you'll end up going north. But if you go east, or if you go west, you'll just keep going the same direction until you end up back where you started from. Well, somebody once said, east is east and west is west and never the twain shall meet. And God says he's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. In other words, we'll never meet those things again. They're buried in the deepest sea. I love that little chorus. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So that idea of being reminded of these things reminds me my sin was paid for, my sin was purged, and I am secure in the hand of God. I am safe and secure. I am in his hand, and nobody can pluck me out of his hand. And God, Jesus has put his hand in God's hand, and nobody can pluck you out of God's hand, not even yourself. Amen. So remembrance serves to stabilize us. Remembrance, number two, serves to stir us. I mean, he even says it here in verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. How? By putting you in remembrance. I don't know about you, but there are some songs that just do the trick on me. I mean, they just get to, you sing in those songs, you sang one of them tonight. You just get to sing, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And I get to thinking about the words of that song, and it just stirs me up. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I get a little excited. I guess I'm Baptist or something. I just get a little excited. My hand goes up. I can't keep it down. No. Hand goes up. I shout glory to God. I went to college. I'm sorry. I went to Hiles Anderson College. It's such a liberal school. I sat over here. Now, if anybody knows anything about Hiles Anderson College, knows that that area is called the Amen section. Brother Hiles would call it the educable slow. And they sit, I mean, they get excited. They shout. I sat over there. They shouted. We had the three guys that sat in front of me, and somebody would get to preaching, and one of the guys would say, "Burn them." Next guy would say, "They need it." And the third guy would say, "Real bad." So they put it all together. Burn them. They need it real bad. I got over there. I sat in that amen section. I got excited about things. I don't know about you, but when I think of what Jesus did for me, I get excited. When I think about what Jesus dying on the cross for me, I get excited. When I think about the fact that he loved me enough to save me in the condition he found me, I get a bit excited. I get thrilled. I get excited. I shout amen. I shout glory to God. I get excited. I get excited when I preach about it. I think we ought to get excited. What were you before Jesus found you? I'll tell you what you were. You were a wretched, vile, wicked, no good, dirty, rotten sinner. And God changed you. You know, we talk about salvation and God saving us, but God didn't just save us, God changed us. I'm no longer what I used to be. Thank the Lord. I get excited about that. I get excited. Then when I start thinking about what God did and what God called me to do, I get excited about sharing it with others. I look forward. I get on an airplane and I fly over to Eastern Europe, Romania, Hungary, Ukraine. I fly over there. I get on the airplane and I get excited just standing in line to get on the airplane. Thinking about folks. Thinking about what God has done in those ministries. And what God is yet to do if I'll just let him work through me. Missionaries, that's all you got to do is just let him work through you. Just be a tool in his hands. Just let him get a hold of you and let him speak through you. Let him work through you. Just be the Jesus that they need to see. The word stir means to arouse, to awaken. A lady sang it here the other night. Stood here and sang about the Holy Spirit and revive the church again. You know, Brother Parsons, I believe that our churches need to be revived. I believe the independent Baptist churches, and I'm an independent Baptist through and through. Okay? There's no Pentecostal, well, there may be a Pentecostal hand raising, shout glory, but I am a Baptist by conviction, a Christian by conversion, a Baptist by conviction, and an independent Baptist by choice. And I'm saddened where I see our independent Baptist movement going. I have churches I used to preach in that I can't preach in them anymore. I changed my sending church because they changed the Bible. It was a good church. Brother Carter, if I mentioned the church, you'd know the pastor. It was a good church, strong church, just outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, just outside of Fort Bragg. Strong church. They use the ESV now. What's wrong with the KJV? Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I've gotten involved in studying it out to make sure I'm in the right version. You know, when you get to your fields, they need to hear the truth. Amen. The undiluted, unmitigated truth of the Word of God. Amen. That's what they need to hear.
That's right. Amen.
They don't need to hear some watered down version. They don't need to hear some contemporary ideas. They don't need to hear some ideas of what somebody thinks it all means. They need to hear the Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. Tried seven times in the furnace, every Word of God is there because God wanted it there. When I remember those things, It stirs me up.
Amen.
And Peter says to these folks, I want you to be stirred. Yea, I think it meet as long as, I'm sorry, back, yeah, that's it. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up. Somebody says, well, you know, that kind of preaching, it just stirs up people's emotions. Well, you know, we ought to have them stirred up every once in a while, don't you think? I mean, we ought to have our emotions. We ought to have our ideas. We ought to have ourselves stirred up because God has done a miraculous, wonderful thing in our lives.
Right.
Not just that He saved me, not just that He can't change me, but God called me to preach the gospel. God called me to be servant in His service. God called, and that stirs me up to think that God would take me and use me in His service. And by the way, God will use any one of us in His service. God wants to use all of us. Some of us going to the mission field, some of us preaching in churches in America, all of us sharing the gospel with those around us. Do you get that? All of us sharing the gospel with those around us. We talk about missionaries. This church is full of missionaries. There's a whole row of missionary girls right there. Well, we're not going overseas. You're going across the street, aren't you?
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
You have friends in the neighborhood. All your friends saved?
That's right.
If they're not, they need to be.
Yeah.
And if they're going to be, somebody needs to tell them.
That's right.
Why not you?
Yep.
Amen.
Why not? It serves to stir us. It serves to stabilize us. And then finally, y'all like finally. How many Baptists like finally? Yeah. I know people do, so I saved my big point for finally. You know, you get in churches and the pastor or the preacher says finally, and everybody starts closing their Bible. Putting their pen. Am I right, Brother Carter? Is he a nod? Nodding, yeah. And he's not nodding off. He's nodding in agreement. And they start putting their pens away and closing everything. You know, when you do that, you're closing your mind. So I started saving my big points for finally. Catch people off guard. I've seen them, they've started putting them away, and I get to my big point, and I start hitting the big point, and I see them scrambling their Bible to get their Bible open again. Remembrance serves to sustain us. Look at what it says in verses 14 and 15. He says in verse 14, knowing that that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease. Peter saying, after I'm gone, he's looking forward, isn't he? He's looking off into the future. He's not looking at now. He's not looking at the past. He's not looking at today. He's looking off into the future. And he says, after my decease, he says this. Let me find it again. After my decease, to have these things, how often?
Always
in remembrance. I think from what I just said about the Bible, I think God wants us to always have these things in remembrance. Not just for today, but for tomorrow.
Amen.
And next week.
Amen.
And next year. And next decade. As long as we're in this body, as long as we walk this earth, as long as we breathe breath, we ought to have these things in remembrance. Why? Because it'll sustain us. It'll stabilize us. It'll stir us. And then it'll sustain us. It'll keep us going.
Amen.
We need to have something to keep us going, don't we?
Amen.
You know, We faced a real difficult year last year. On July the 1st, 2021, I got a phone call. I was down in Bradenton and preached Wednesday night down in Bradenton, where our ministry is focused or planted. I got a phone call from a nurse at Ascension St. Vincent's in Jacksonville, Florida. It seems that my son had contracted COVID, and on July the 1st, they put him on a ventilator. I immediately got in the car and headed back home. 3 hours, 3.5 hours drive from Bradenton to Jacksonville, my mind was all over the place. Around August the 5th, this was July the 1st, around August the 5th, he had been breathing on his own off and on for a few days, a little longer. On August the 5th, I called the nurses to find out how he was. They gave me to the doctor, and the doctor says one of his lungs collapsed. At one point, my son had 5 chest tubes in him. The doctor said the fluid on his lungs is so thick, it's like gelatin, we had to put a tube in to insert medicine that would break that liquid down so we could draw it off the lung. 80 days after he went in the hospital, he left the hospital. During those days, my faith was tried. I have 2 children. I have a son and a daughter. And I was about to lose my son. And I was tried. You know what kept me going? These things. Amen. These things. I lay there at night. My wife and I slept in different rooms because I would go to the hospital and I'd come home, immediately take off my clothes, run them through the sanitizing cycle on the wash machine. Pulpit bloopers. Ask me about pulpit bloopers. I'll tell you one that I'd get a shower. We slept in separate rooms and I'd lay there in my bed by myself, and I'd look up and I'd say, God, what in the world are you doing? I'm trying to serve you. I was scheduled to go to Ukraine in August of that year, and I had to cancel because my son was in the hospital dying. I'm trying to serve you. And he said, don't worry, I've got this. Remember those things. And it kept me going. It served to sustain me. Peter tells these folks, keep those things in your mind. You have those things, they will stabilize you. You have those things, they will stir you up. You have those things in your mind. You keep those things in your mind, and it'll sustain you through difficult times. And understand this, child of God, we are going to face difficult times.
Amen.
If you haven't already faced a difficult time in your life, hold on, brother, hold on, sister, you will. As sure as I'm standing here, as sure as that Bible is the Word of God, as sure as you're breathing God's air, you will face difficult times if you've not already faced difficult times. And what you're going to need to carry you through those difficult times are those things that Peter talks about in this epistle. If you have those things and they keep them in you, they will stabilize you, they will stir you, and they will sustain you. They'll keep you going serving Him. And dear child of God, dear missionary friend, and I call you friend because you are, dear missionary friend, those things will sustain you when you face difficult times on the mission field. And I can guarantee you, after 37 years of serving God in full-time service, I know that there are going to be difficult times.
Amen.
We've had some great times. Grace Baptist Church in Baumholder, we had some tremendous times. We had tremendous growth. We saw people saved. We saw people called into the ministry. Folks are still in the ministry out of our ministry in Germany. We've had all that, but we've had some tough times in those times as well. And since I left Germany, I've had some great times, but I've had some difficult times, and I've needed to have those things in my heart and mind because they would sustain me, they would carry me through. And you're going to need those things, my brother, and you're going to need those things. You already know that, and you're going to need those things. And dear missionary, brother, mayor, there you are back there, you're going to need those things. And pastor, you're going to need them too. Why? They'll stabilize you. They'll stir you. And they'll sustain you. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, they'll help you to come to know Christ as your Savior. They'll lead to your salvation. So we could add a fourth S in there and say they'll save you. If you're here tonight, he says, here's some things you ought to remember. This is a day of remembrance. It's even called that in Canada, Remembrance Day. This is a day of remembrance. You remember those that serve the military, that served in the military, that served our country. How about remembering these things and go out and serve him? Amen. Heavenly Father, I've done what you've asked me to do. Now, Father, we turn it over to the pastor and to you. Holy Spirit of God, would you please speak to the hearts of God's people here? And should there be any in our midst that does not know Jesus, whether it be young or old, that does not know Jesus, I pray, Father, that these things would get inside their heart and lead to their salvation. Father, stabilize us, stir us, and sustain us with these things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Would you stand to your feet tonight with me? If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come? If you're here and you're not saved, meet me in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender, I surrender. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Let me ask you this. Was something brought to your remembrance tonight? Maybe it's something that I know when I was a young man, I remember God through a message like this tonight brought to remembrance the commitments that I made to God as a young boy. Over and over again through my life, he would bring to remembrance things that I had walked an old-fashioned aisle and promised God that I would do for him. And I imagine with folks in the room tonight, there's promises that you've made God that you've not made good on. And God can still use you to do that. But in the message tonight, I want to give you an opportunity while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Brother Bert sings tonight. Maybe tonight you didn't step out and come, but you still need to, because there's promises you made that you need to re-up. You need to come and make remembrance of those things tonight. Why don't you come as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. may I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Folks have stepped out and come. Maybe it's your turn tonight. Folks have come to be saved tonight. Folks have come to pray, and maybe you need to step out and come. Say, preacher, the invitation's almost over. Not if you come. Not if you come and deal with God. The invitation is still open. Why don't you pray? You're a Christian tonight, and you know somebody needs to come. Why don't you pray tonight? Better off, maybe what they need is for you to come and pray for them here at the altar. Maybe you need to step out and come and pray. Maybe to call to remembrance something you've been praying for before the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty. Why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
Would you bow your heads with me tonight as the music continues to play? Let me ask you this. Mission Conference closes tonight. I know we're in Missions Month here at Landmark, but what is it that God has been asking you to do? What is it that God's been speaking to your heart about that you'll be so sorry that you walked out the back doors and you didn't give Him tonight? That you didn't call on His name and ask Him to do in your life? Well, I beg you tonight, if I could walk to your seat, but I know the Holy Spirit already has, let me ask you to remember what God's been doing in your heart this week and give whatever it is to Him. Speak to Him. Surrender to it. Let the church know about it. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved tonight. Don't put it off another day. Step out and come down and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Whatever it is that God's asking you to do, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. Blessed Savior, I surrender.
We've got something to share with you tonight. Amen. We're going to fill the card out. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? I just want to say this tonight. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for bringing so much food tonight, for being a part with us. And we had a young man come and get saved tonight. Amen. So we want to share that with you, and we'll continue to talk with him about baptism and joining the church. And let me say thank you, church. This is a giving church. Amen. We're thankful. Missionaries, thank you for coming and spending the week with us. Even in the card I wrote for each one of you, I just want to thank you for your investment in our young people in our school. Thank you for your investment in our family as a church. And we'll continue to pray for you. Amen. And some of you will continue to support. And we look to take on all of you as we can. Amen. And so we're so appreciative of you coming to be with us tonight. And church family, we appreciate you. We want to